hey, hey, everybody. It's time for your Browns Friday Fumble.
Fall on it.
As demonstrated by Ben Roethlisberger and James Conner, you got to fall on it. You don't try to pick it up and run. Or if you're Ben Roethlisberger, you don't fall on it.
You let the other guy do it because...
You look at it and maybe you shout...
He's too old for this crap.
You shout words of encouragement to James Conner. Say, you got this one, buddy. You got this.
You got this one. Hey, we'll get him back.
I have confidence in you that you're going to get this one. Dylan?
Oh, buddy. What are we even going to do?
Note to the listeners. You're listeners of this podcast. You've been here before. You've heard us before. Okay. We're a satirical podcast where we make jokes about the Browns, and when they win, we pretend to be mad, and when they lose, we pretend to be happy and all this. This is playoffs, divisional round, Browns victorious. We always wondered what the direction of the podcast would be, and we don't know going forward, but I'm telling you this podcast today is 100% legitimate, celebratory.
Homerville town.
There's no jokes. Well, there's jokes.
Rah,
but this is 100%. The Browns just beat the goddamn Pittsburgh football.
In Pittsburgh, nonetheless.
In Pittsburgh, in the playoffs. And Dylan, it was not a close game.
At all. I was just watching the highlights, Dave. You watched me do it, and they went and scored 7 points, and we just fucking went and scored 7 more on.
Yeah,
top
we'll do
of
that.
Our 28.
Yeah, the statistic of the game was that the Browns, despite everybody thinking it was starting to get hairy in the third quarter, the Browns led by 2 scores for 54 minutes of that game. And there are 60 minutes played in an NFL football game, Dylan. 54 of those minutes, the Browns were up by multiple touchdowns.
Yes.
It was not a close game. It was possibly the dismantling of the Pittsburgh juggernaut, which has really just kicked us in the nuts, shins, knees, hips, kidneys, every face if you're a punter.
Soul.
It's
Dave.
Just, yeah.
Soul.
The orcs, the orcs are being thrown down into the pit. Saruman has revealed to be an evil wizard and has been struck down as well. This is just, okay. I don't know that
so
I want to.
Let's walk through it. Let's walk through it because I know that me and you were both on a Hulu delay.
We were on what now is referred to as the Kevin Stefanski delay.
Exactly.
As it was revealed, he was on a Hulu delay, and he was tipped off on every positive play by his kids upstairs. I was tipped off by a text thread that, in the early stages of the game, was just a series of swear words and random characters. Where
lots of emoji use. My recent emojis is real weird right now.
Yeah, a lot of sexual stuff, to be honest. lot of eggplants, lot of 3 drops. Yeah, it was, and I tried to set this precedent, and friend of the show, Jack Brackney will be the one to break this rule most. But I tried to say, if it's a positive play, spoil away.
Go ahead.
If it's a negative play, don't. But that ended up being a problem with, if there's no flurry in the text thread, it means nothing good's happening. But
right.
Also, Jack had trouble sticking to that rule as well. But anyway, it doesn't matter. There was no negatives in that game. That game was all positive.
Start to finish, just one long, drawn out. I mean, here's the thing, Dave. I was trying to go through and pick my favorite touchdown.
Yeah.
And there's six of them, goddamn, to choose from. And every single one is a magnificent piece
yeah.
of art.
All of them. All of them are magnificent pieces of art. Like, let's go through them one by one, Dylan.
Please. I want to.
First one, and this we didn't plan, so I got to look them up.
Aforementioned.
The first
Ben is encouraging James Conner to save his ass.
Yes, and he does not. He is unable to do so. Carl Joseph falls on the ball in the end zone. 6-0 with like 6 seconds gone.
Now, I was still doing pregame hype at this point. You know that sort of like you got to switch the hype train from pre to in game. I was still pregame hyped.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of like surface paying attention, and then I just lost my damn mind.
I was expecting an 8 o'clock, just barely get there on time, tell my wife, hey, can you listen for her? Because I'm going to the basement to watch this game. I had confirmation of asleep at 7:15, and then all of a sudden I'm like, okay, well, now I have an hour to kill of anxious, nervous energy.
Now I got to get on the Browns Twitter. By the way, Sunday night Browns Twitter pregame was the most manic, ridiculous
it was a
situation
show.
That I've ever witnessed on. And that's counting the last week's worth of events.
Yeah. It was very, very, very stressful. I ended up during that time, I'm not making this up. I went on to, I fired up Grand Theft Auto 5 on my PC. I went online and I bought an orange van so I could have a Cleveland Browns themed van in Grand Theft Auto 5. Now I did not have enough money to buy one from the custom place that you could put like fancy stripes on it. So it's just a regular van painted orange. Anyway, I'm hoping to get the Browns helmet on the side of my orange van by this week. I'll have to try to figure that out. So that's how
please update the Twitter stream.
I will. Occurs. I will do that. I will try to get a picture of at least the orange van.
Yes.
Game starts and instantly like before the kickoff happens, I'm getting these texts.
Oh yeah.
So 8:16 p.m. I receive a series of very, 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 very long and typo filled ha 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 ha's, followed by responses that are all just random typing consonants. Followed by, as we've discussed this in the past, the word just someone texting fuck to a group message during a Browns game, like you don't know, and I'm 45 seconds behind, and
that all of those messages honestly could have gone either way.
Yeah. And then there's that. See, this is before even everyone in the group had shared what Browns gear they were wearing. It was so early. Oh, my word. Okay, let's move on. And we'll go with the setup to this touchdown. Second touchdown off of the interception. What I've told by smarter people than me, the Jake Burnses of the world, is that this was the same play that was returned as a pick six. Back in week six, but Baker made the proper read this time and made the right throw to Jarvis Landry, who then, you remember in Tecmo Bowl, Dylan, when like there was one player who was as fast as your player, but none of the other players were that fast?
Certainly. Certainly.
So that's what happened. Jarvis caught the ball and then the one player that was as fast as him fell down and then no one else even really attempted to tackle him in any sort of real way.
And then he fucking flew into the end zone.
Yeah. And the effort level put forth by the Pittsburgh football in this staggeringly low amount of effort in this playoff game. So that's number two. And again, this is not ranked. This has to be chronological. Number three, following another interception, is
Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, and it's one of the ones I would say, if I had to rank them, this was one of my top ones, simply for the fact that Kareem Hunt
carried
Met Spillane at the five.
Pittsburgh footballers.
And then just
for 5 yards.
And
yes.
then just willed himself into the end zone.
Yes.
And at just that point,
rolled, he basically was the lumberjack rolling logs.
Oh my word.
It down was, the hill.
Yeah. Then the next one following, was it a punt or an interception? I don't remember, Dylan. There are so many interceptions and punts in this game by Pittsburgh. But
Kareem again.
Yeah, Kareem opts for the knife option rather than the hammer option and just dances around everybody and gets into the
and
end
just,
zone.
Yeah, just slices his little twinkle toes right through this gaping hole on the left side and prances into the end zone like a gazelle.
I mean, this was just the first quarter.
Yeah, we're not even playing football yet.
Yeah, like there's a lot of game to play. We're up 28-0.
We're not even, we haven't even registered the ticker. So here's where we are right now. So Pittsburgh, Big Ben just marched down the field and did their little, hey, we're still, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then the statement touchdown. The statement drive that said,
such a good one.
Oh, you wanted 7 points? I'm sorry. We can't let you have that 7 points.
Well, and you we can just have those 7 points, but that change of differential, the diff.
Yeah. No, I don't like it. And so Baker Mayfield decided that he was just going to give Austin Hooper one. And so now we've got a defensive touchdown. We've got a wide receiver touchdown. We've got two running back touchdowns. And now we've got a tight end touchdown.
I'm just, yeah.
Then we go into the locker room, Dave.
Then we go into the locker room. It's 35-10. And I still remember, again, Cleveland Twitter at this point going, oh, well, Ben's going to get you left Ben too much time. Then they put up three. Holding them to three here is a big deal. No, it isn't a big deal. Yeah, we held them to three. Fine. But it's also 35-10. And 35-14, just as good. Sorry, it just is. After the half, the third quarter belongs to Pittsburgh football a little bit. Obviously, again, this is not making excuses. You can't come out on fire like the Browns did and expect to maintain that. Like, human bodies aren't capable of sustaining that energy level for that long. So, fine. I'm going to go ahead and look at the, if you look at the ESPN win probabilities, starts out, Pittsburgh has a 67% chance to win until the first snap of the game, which then makes it a 51% Cleveland just with that first touchdown. And then after the second touchdown, goes up to 71% Cleveland and would not dip below 85% for the rest of the game. Let's go to the fourth quarter. After my favorite play that the Pittsburgh football ran was the try to catch you off sides fake punt, not punt plan. Rather than going for it on fourth and one, which they would have easily achieved, Mike Tomlin opting to go the Mike Vrabel chicken shit route and punting it away. Because, you know, Dylan, the third quarter, the Browns didn't really put much together offensively. No points.
That was Pat Shurmur. That was a Pat Shurmur move.
No points in the third quarter. You know, the defense got this, Dylan. The defense got this. Baker's washed. Oh, my goodness. They've thrown a 40-yard screen pass to Nick Chubb for a touchdown. Six plays, 80 yards, 2 minutes and 20 seconds. And it's now 42-23. Oh, my word, Dylan.
So now we've got a Nicholas Chubb touchdown.
And the perfect, just the perfect remedy to their bullshit pass rush. Oh, my gosh, you guys. And then the play of the game is definitely the final touchdown by Pittsburgh football to make it 48-37 when Chase Claypool, in a very classy fashion, scores the garbage time touchdown and spikes the ball like he has just tied it up 48-48. But he has not managed to actually check the scoreboard to realize that the Browns got 28 in the first quarter and therefore have 48 points.
Yeah. He was really shocked in that moment.
At just how classless the Browns were in that moment. Dylan, I don't know if any of our listeners thought that that little game recap we did was fun, interesting, but this is for us at this point. Like,
cathartic.
Just to go through it himself. Now, I will say that at the end of this game, again, this is a real true-to-life story. I live in a place where everybody has, you know, half-acre land. We're kind of spaced out, not super densely populated. So I wanted to go outside after the game was over, but before the interview portion of the night started. And I wanted to go outside and perhaps yell into the Brownsy night some positive statements about the Browns and listen for other people yelling. And I managed to lock myself outside of the house at approximately 11:30 p.m., my wife had gone to bed hours earlier as she was too nervous to watch a Browns playoff game with me. So there I was in an attempt to yell into the night and hear yelling in the night, locking myself out of my home, needing to call my wife, who I very much scared the hell out of. Because, Dylan, when's the last time you placed a phone call to your wife at night?
Nope. Can't even recall.
So she answers the phone with, "What's wrong?" And I say, "Well, nothing really, except I've locked myself out of the house. You're going to need to get out of the warm bed you're in, walk downstairs, and let me back in the house because I wanted to be 13 years old and yell outside." Needless to say, I did not yell, but there were people yelling in my neighborhood. So it was all good in the end. And I will say that the enthusiasm and humor of the situation kind of recovered itself the next morning once everybody had had a pretty good night's sleep and things were fairly more pleasant around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last thing we're going to say about this game here today, guys, is this is kind of a public service announcement. We all have our friends. You have the obnoxious Pittsburgh fans in your life, Dylan. You don't know how you meet them or come across them, or maybe you're forced to work with them, but now's the time to reach out, connect, send them a meme of a football over top of the clock, Big Ben. Send them a meme that someone has made of a Pittsburgh player with a faceless, nameless gray face. Send them the Browns is the Browns. It's time. Reach out. Connect.
You know, this is a good time maybe to share some tips or remedies that that you have used in the past years that that your team was not involved in maybe the postseason?
You know what? This is stuff that they're going to need to use for several years.
Yes, yes.
Before they're back into the playoffs. So just share the tips, like recipes.
The body of knowledge that you've gained and frankly don't need anymore.
Not for a little while anyway. It's time. And do this for them, the obnoxious Pittsburgh fan, in your life. It's time for a little bit of Browns news from www.clevelandbrowns.com/playoff news. A new part of clevelandbrowns.com. And Dylan, it's time to bring out an old segment. We only do it every once in a while. I'm not even going to get into the whole thing, but we're doing a Baker Mayfield's Baker's Dozen. Top six, because Baker's number is six. Brought to you by Rodeo Palohas in Middleburg Heights, next to the abandoned rallies. The top six reasons Ben Roethlisberger is going to retire.
Ooh, this is a good one, Dave. This is a real good one. I know Baker really put the work in on this one, so let's just take it from the top here. At number six, the sixth reason why Ben Roethlisberger is going to retire is that Put-in Bay timeshares, I mean, they're just a much better deal if you can use it during the football season.
And oh, yeah.
If you want to maximize your money,
yep,
you got to get in that, there in November.
Yeah, it's the time. Number five, he took it personally that the media thinks that he's let himself go already. I mean, he just can't wait to prove them wrong, to show them how much he really can let himself go.
Coming at number four here, number fourth reason why Big Ben ought to retire. He's really looking forward to that sweet Pittsburgh area RV and camping outlet advertising and licensing money. I mean, that's a bankroll.
Yeah. Number three, he can finally stop acting like he knows what the fuck TikTok is.
Number two, he's already lined up to host the 2021 Realtree Awards, so, you know.
That's kind of already on the calendar. And coming in at number one, he just doesn't want to ask for permission or forgiveness anymore. Joining us for some other perspectives on the Middleburg Heights Hot Yoga Hotline, none other than Cleveland Browns analyst Anthony Discostini. Anthony, how are you this fine, fine Victory Friday?
I'm great, guys. I'm here in Boca. It's sunny. It's beautiful. It's, you know, we're coming into the off season, my favorite time of the year. Let's break down the draft, shall we? I don't know if you're going to need a quarterback this year, gentlemen, because
damn right you're not going to need a quarterback. Eagles, hell yeah.
Right. Given the recent Eagles struggles and bringing in Jalen Hurts, you know that the Browns are going to have a shot to bring in Carson Wentz, either via trade or, you know, pray to the football gods that maybe the Eagles release him because they think they've got something in Hurts. And you can correct that mistake from a few years ago, fellas, and you've got yourselves a real quarterback, someone that can take you to the playoffs. I mean, he took the Eagles to the Super Bowl in his second season. I mean, granted, he couldn't go, but he took them there. He was the guy all season long until he got hurt and couldn't do it anymore. But this is the opportunity, fellas. This is where you go out and you get that franchise quarterback and you end this playoff drought and you get there. Maybe you just get to the wild card round. And that in itself is a victory, fellas. You don't need to win the Super Bowl the first year, but you get that quarterback. You get there, you give the city hope, and it'll be just amazing what it'll do for the team the following season. So I think we're 1 year out away from getting that quarterback in the offseason. I don't think you have to do it in the draft this year, which is great because the Browns won too many games to get a good quarterback in the draft, honestly. But I think Wentz is probably the best case scenario. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, Anthony, I'm hesitating to even talk about this because this is really kind of the happiest I've heard you in the years we've been having you on the show. And
oh yeah, I love talking quarterback draft time.
I mean,
off-season stuff.
You've been in Boca. Do you have like the internet there?
I don't get on it too much, except when I have to do my analyst stuff, and that's only during the season. So as you know, I take my vacation at the end of the year and I go to visit my parents in Boca, and I turn that stuff off.
Dave, I should
hold on here? 1 second, Anthony. I'm gonna mute you here for a second.
Sure.
Dave, I really don't want to burst this bubble.
I know. He seems so happy. This is the happiest I've ever heard him.
But I feel like he has to... Somebody's got to tell him.
Well, has ESPN called him? Like, they had to have called him, right?
I don't know.
They had... All right, let's... Anthony, do you have any, like... Does your employer, who employs you as an analyst... Have they tried to reach out to you in the last couple of weeks? Do you have any missed calls or a voicemail they left or anything?
Well, I mean, maybe. I don't have any. I don't know how to use the voicemail, but I get the scam likelies just like everybody else. Maybe they've tried to call me.
Well,
yeah, hold on one second.
Let me ask you a hypothetical question, Anthony. If you had like a small cut and we had a Band-Aid on you and you felt like the cut was healed, it was time for that Band-Aid to come off. Are you a fan of the slow and gentle or the rip it right off?
Wow.
This is kind of a philosophy.
Pros and cons both ways there, Dave. The slow and gentle means I can ease my way into it and really wrap my head around it. But then there's the whole rip it off and I get it over with and I have to face it. So really, I'm kind of non-committal on that. I'm going to have to set the fence on that one.
Okay, well, we'll come at this from another angle then. Let's say...
Dave, I'm just going to do it.
You're going Band-Aid?
I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to Band-Aid it.
Hold on. Let me ask one more question. One more question here.
All right.
You obviously watched Week 17.
Sure. I mean, it's my job. I'm an analyst.
Can you explain to me kind of the end of that game?
Yeah. I mean, the Browns were pretty well in control until Mason Rudolph came back and threw a touchdown at the end of the game, and from there you knew it was over.
Define.
Keep going. Keep
over.
Going. You're stopping there. Yeah. There was more game left.
Well, I mean, come on. They scored the touchdown. All they had to do was get the 2-point conversion to tie it, and then either the Browns are going to miraculously march down the field and score to win, or it's going to go to overtime, and you know they have no shot. So that's about when I turned it off.
Okay. Well.
Huh. Okay.
Well,
it's been nice talking to you, Anthony.
Yeah. Thanks, Anthony. I don't really know. I agree with you. Sure, on the quarterback thing. I guess we'll. I would encourage you, if you could, see if your parents' computer works. Get on the internet, and go to www.clevelandbrowns.com/news. And we got to go.
All right. Well, fellas, it was nice talking to you. I'll be looking forward to the draft, and hopefully we'll have signed Wentz by then, and we won't need to talk quarterback in the draft, right?
Yeah, we'll talk to you then, right after we sign Carson Wentz.
Great. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
Have a great offseason, guys.
Hey, this is Hugh Jackson, and now it is time to know your foe. Back to you, Dave and Dalen.
I just received a flurry of voicemails from a one Randy Mahomes. I don't know if you're familiar with that name.
Randy? Is that Patrick Mahomes' mom?
That is Patrick Mahomes' mom. And
why is she calling you?
Well, here's the thing. Clearly, Patrick seems to be still on his parents' family plan, because these voicemails were, in fact, from Patrick Mahomes himself.
So they must have the unlimited. It's too good to pass up. I mean,
well, T-Mobile has a really good deal right now, and I think they probably partner with the NFL also.
Well, their coverage, their coverage in Kansas City is very good. If you've seen the map,
no doubt about it.
There's pink all over that shit.
No doubt about it. Anyway, these voicemails though, Dave, I can tell he's trying to.
Did these lean Alex Smith or did they lean Russell Wilson?
It's like a weird amalgamation of the two. Like, he's trying to talk mean shit like Russell did that really scared me, you know? But he, you know, he's just...
Maybe we should just listen to him. I mean, I don't want to...
Yeah, let's just listen. Let's just listen. I got to play these.
Play the first one.
Hey, Dylan. Yeah, this is Patrick Mahomes, Super Bowl champion and the current face of the youthful side of the NFL. I'm just calling to tell you that the Browns suck, and so do you. And so does Dave. And so does your mom. And you probably own cats or something stupid. You're just dumb and stupid, and you suck like all of Cleveland does, okay?
Yeah, so you can tell...
There's some anger there.
Definitely some ferocity. I feel like... But I just... there's something about it I just can't take seriously, right? I mean...
Yeah, I mean, the mom stuff... I mean,
that
joke makes a lot more sense when you're like 13 and, you know, your moms aren't in their 70s, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a little odd.
There's more. Yeah, let's just get to this next one because, yeah.
Hey, Dylan, this is Patrick Mahomes again, brought to you by Head & Shoulders. The Browns are going to get knocked off at the playoffs, like Head & Shoulders knocks off dandruff off my head. Yeah, so be prepared for that this Sunday during your next shower.
Yeah, so that one got weird. I mean...
The sponsored content, yeah, that's odd.
I mean, I get he's trying to get his bag. I get that. Everybody's trying to get their bag, okay? I follow all the Browns on Instagram Live. I understand what getting the bag is.
I don't, but I'm not going to inquire it this time.
So, like, why is he talking about me in the shower, though?
Well, and I would have thought that, like, when Head & Shoulders had Pittsburgh Football's Troy Polamalu, I thought it was just because he had, like, wild, vivid hair. But it sounded like Mahomes had a dandruff problem.
Yeah, like he's directly addressing the dandruff aspect of that.
That like he was pretty happy it worked out that Head & Shoulders wanted him as a spokesperson because he was like, well, I use it anyway kind of
thing. Yeah, I'm already using it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this one is where it absolutely sort of the lid gets blown off. Just listen.
Okay, well, hey, Travis just called me. You guys probably know Kelsey. He's from Cleveland. Anyway, he told me Cleveland is actually really cool, and I should probably stop talking smack about stuff I don't know about. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I just beat the Browns in Madden today. Scored like 81 points, so it doesn't really look good for you guys. And also, by the way, I was on pro, not rookie, okay, before you even asked. And my dumb, stupid little brother even kept OBJ healthy for that one.
So he's resorting to the Madden taunt? Like, I mean, we've used Madden for simulation purposes, Dylan, but
because it's the most accurate machine for that purpose.
But yes. We didn't play. I mean, you can't play. You let Madden figure it out. So I got to figure out if he... Huh. Well, is that also, it? Is that all of them? Or
he obviously played his little brother. Like,
yeah.
Of course you beat him by 81 points. Come on.
Yeah.
That's so dumb. There's this last one, and it's sort of a mea culpa, but also not. So I don't know. We'll just listen.
So I'd actually really appreciate it if you erased those. And I guess I'm sorry. Sorry for the shit talking. I also got to get this off my chest. They actually CGI'd me playing cornhole. In the State Farm commercial. I can't actually toss like that. I really wish I could. I told them I didn't feel it was honest, but they made me anyway. I just hope you get this last one in time.
Okay, so yeah, I didn't listen to the end of that one. I was cracking up hard at that point. And yeah, sorry, Pat. I missed that last part that we had to take this one out, but you can see, like, I'm not very intimidated.
I was going to take it out per his request until I got the bombshell, which is the real issue here, and that those State Farm commercials are fake. And wow. Next thing you're going to tell me that Aaron Rodgers didn't throw a dog toy so far that it became nothing in space. Like,
yeah,
you're an insurance company. I expect a little bit of accuracy, honesty.
Yeah.
Integrity. How about that?
Yeah.
How about integrity?
I mean, baseline, we know that Flo, her whole family looks exactly like her. We know that.
Yeah, we know that. We know that despite the fact that Jamie gets ragged on a lot, he's actually very wealthy, has a beautiful family, and a beautiful house.
And he's very good at what he does. He's like one of the top
agents. And also, we know that Baker Mayfield lives at the stadium, interacts with Dredrick Wills a lot, his wife a lot, and the one groundskeeper, and some security people. And that's honesty, and that's integrity, and that's, I think, something that maybe State Farm, you need to look at. Don't even get me started on that fucking farmer's guy. All right, guys. If you've been watching from afar, I don't know if you're like me or like Chris Clem. I can't watch much football that's not the Browns. I don't have a lot of time for 3-hour sporting events, so I haven't watched a lot of the Chiefs this year. I've seen their record. I know who Patrick Mahomes is. Those are things. I see that they were 15-1, Dylan.
Dave, let me tell you something as a counterpoint. I've watched them meticulously.
Oh.
Because I am a football guy.
Well, I...
with a football brain. And I got to jam-pack that thing full of football.
That's fine. What I noticed in doing a little digging is that the Chiefs, while they do have a 15-1 record, they aren't exactly the dominators that a lot of people are making them out to be.
No, Dave, and in fact, I'd go as far as to say that they're more of a denominator.
Oof.
This is the team that every other team gets divided by.
Okay, I'm not really a math guy, so I'm not going to be able to figure this one out, but fine.
Actually, Dave, I got to level with you. I didn't write this part. This is not my words. These are not my words. Oh. I haven't watched Kansas City play at all this year.
Oh, well, good. So if I look at their record here, Dylan.
Yeah.
I am struggling to find the 51-0, the 40-10s, I'm just not seeing it, Dylan.
Yeah, they keep calling this.
They
thing
weren't even
15-1. Like,
they were 14-2. God damn it!
Like, they keep saying it's going to be like a offensive shootout and going to have two gunslingers going at it. But
you know what I don't see? I don't see the Chiefs scoring more than 35 points. Oh, 43 once.
Yep.
So one 40-point game, Dylan. How many did the Browns have? They had more than that.
Yeah, more than that. Which is interesting because basically, I think the media has been whitewashed in assuming a Kansas City victory.
Yeah, and
now,
I don't remember
can you,
what happened,
in recent
Dylan.
History,
yeah, what happened the last time we were told that there was an assured victory from one team versus another team who was pretty much just happy to be there, Dylan?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I do remember that. And I think what happened was, there was an NFL record set. I know that. An NFL record was set. And then also a bunch of other like streaks and stuff were broken at the same time. Like,
yeah.
I'm talking like 20-year streaks.
And like 50-year streaks too.
Right, right. All in one fell swoop. And you know what? It occurs to me that one of the vaunted gunslingers, one of them was involved in that game. And I think his name is Baker Goddamn Mayfield.
Well, that's the thing, Dylan. I'm looking here, and I'm looking for these giant offensive performances. I've only seen one. But then it occurred to me that no. The strength of the Kansas City Chiefs is obviously their staunch defense.
Obviously.
Hold on. No, it's not staunch. They gave up 40 points to Las Vegas.
Ooh, okay. What about their run defense? Because that's, you know.
It seems to me that
you're going to cover up the Browns, you got to cover up the run, right?
Seems as though it's not great, Dylan.
Really?
It seems as though that this team isn't a juggernaut. It seems like they're just a football team. In fact, Dylan, I thought we were to the point that we weren't going to use Native American imagery in our mascots anymore. So should we just call them Kansas City Football Team?
Yeah, let's do it right now.
All right, Kansas City Football Team.
Great.
Pardon us if we offended earlier using their old name.
I mean, what else is there to do? I mean, I guess we got to look at this roster.
Let's look at the dumb roster. Led by Coach Riley Reed. Got wide receiver, nerd, Tyreek Hill.
How was that science test, McColl? Hard, man.
At left tackle, son of Browns defensive end Miles Garrett, Eric Fisher.
Martinez, I'm ranking you last place as far as tackles go.
Nick is going to Al Regretti going up against Larry Ogunjobi.
What James Harden will be saying from here on out, yes, sir, Durant.
Former NFL center Austin Ryder.
Guard and knockoff Kool-Aid, Andrew Weilers.
At tight end, Frazier star Travis Kelce Grammer.
The other wideout, Sandridge Watkins.
At quarterback, Patrick Mahomes star runner.
Oh, backup quarterback, though, Chad Henne Tattoo. Everybody forgets about him.
One of the running backs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And that sounds like a company that makes industrial diesel engines. Oh, look. Yeah. They just installed that Edwards-Helaire on that backhoe.
Definitely headquartered in Independence.
Oh, yeah.
Le'Veon Bell, who, I'm not joking at all, I just remembered was still in the NFL. Like, I know that we make that former NFL blah 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 joke. I know we make it every year in most rosters, but I seriously forgot that Le'Veon Bell was in the NFL. What a piece of shit.
Happy singer, Darrell Williams.
Hey man, can I hit that? Anthony. Sure, man.
Let's take a look at the defense. Left defensive end, Tano Kapassingdown.
Hogwarts ghost, Legarius Sneed.
Backup free safety, Armani Watch.
Little Bo Pete Keys at cornerback and Shepherd.
At defensive end, and your uncle, Frank Clark, and his buddy, Chris Jones.
A sea shanty, Dorian O'Daniel.
When you want to speed up, use the mic panel.
Oh, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Antonio Hamilton.
Dederic Nanati.
KFC spokesman, Kalen Sanders.
Linebacker, Darius Harrius.
Legendary Pokemon, Charvarius Ward.
Zero tackles on the day, Anthony Hitchens.
Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Monster.
All right, Dylan. Playoff game two. Divisional round. I've said it to some other people. I'll say it to you and I'll say it to the listeners. We ain't got time for a shirt right now. You haven't won anything yet. You weren't the division champs. Can't buy the division champ shirt. You can't buy a shirt till we win the AFC championship.
Yep.
So we better win this game so we can get to the AFC championship, because I want to buy a shirt.
I want a goddamn shirt.
I'm willing to spend $40 on some bullshit, crappy quality.
Oh, it's going to smell so bad when it arrives.
Bad smelling with the big dog's level of roughness.
Yep.
I want it to say AFC champs. I'll buy that. And then we'll talk about the Super Bowl champs next. But let's be honest, Dylan. This is our first trip to the playoffs in 18 years. I'm not expecting off the top a Super Bowl win, but I'm expecting some hardware out of this. And I don't want to end this before we get some of that. So, nope. I mean,
what's it going to take here, though? What do you think?
Well, looking back at what the Chiefs are able to score, you know, I know we always predict the same thing, but I think we can hold them to 17 points, Dylan.
I just don't see them going past two touchdowns and a field goal.
I don't.
Of course they're going to look. Of course they're going to score. Okay? Of course they're going to score. This is the NFL champion Kansas City Chiefs. We're not dumb, okay?
Kansas City football. They're gonna score some points. They're gonna score a couple of touchdowns, but what they're not gonna do, probably, is snap the ball over the top of Patrick Mahomes' star runner's head into the end zone and give us a touchdown.
Right, we're gonna have to earn every single point.
And you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna earn every single point.
We're gonna earn every single goddamn point.
So,
how many is that gonna be?
I think we can earn 26 or more points.
Probably three touchdowns. Three touchdowns, a field goal, and a safety. I mean, why not?
Yeah, maybe they're smart enough when they do snap the ball over Patrick Mahomes' head.
They fall on it or kick it out the back of the end zone. Yep.
Like a smart goddamn football team would.
Like a Brandon Whedon.
All right, everybody. Thank you to Jack Brackney for helping us out.
Thank you to Jack Fennedy for helping us out.
Thank you to you listeners for listening us out. And we will be back next week for the AFC Championship episode. In conclusion, my name is Dave.
And I am Dylan.
And this has been your Friday Fumble. And I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Go Browns.
Go Browns.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, fun, looking forward to the weekend.
Get Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on!